Hey, folks, we are coming at you from the AUA. I'm Dr. Amy Perlman. I have my partner in podcast, Larry Lipschultz.
Hi. Pleasure to be here.
And then we have Tom Stringer. Tom, you and I met several years ago when I was in North Carolina. Ryan Terlecky actually introduced us.
Yes.
And you're at the University of Florida, and you are going to be president-elect of the entire AUA in one day.
El Jefe.
Yes, one day. Now, I've been multiple roles. Yeah. I was treasurer for 5 years, and I was our Southeastern section representative. So I've been on the board for 10. This will be 3 more years.
Yes.
And Mike Shepard tells me that'll set the record for service to the AUA board. So.
But you didn't start your career in academics.
No.
Give us a lay of the land in terms of your career.
All right. I started as a resident at the University of Florida, went back to Detroit and did a fellowship in oncology, and then started a private practice in rural Florida that we, over a couple decades, grew to a group of 17 in 4 counties. I was a managing partner. I was in charge of developing ancillary income streams, et cetera. But I was always an adjunct professor at University of Florida.
But was that before the big LUGPA groups?
Yeah, LUGPA,
How many were in your group?
In parallel, 17 in our
group. Wow. So it was large.
Yeah. And I participated in LUGPA and other large group sort of organizations. But I was an adjunct at University of Florida. And the VA often didn't have an open cancer surgeon. So once a month, I took the residents through the big open cancer cases. And I got the sense after a while that that was my best day of the month. So I migrated to full academic practice.
It's unusual.
Yeah,
usually, it's unusual. You know, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
But you went from private into the academic.
What was it that you loved so much about that one day of the month?
I just love the residents.
Yeah.
I just love the interaction. We'd finish our cases. We'd go have a beer together.
To the VA cafeteria.
In the VA cafeteria. Have a beer. Yeah.
But you know something?
Which was unusual.
But I think it's really important because I think to go into private practice in urology, to me, is a completely different life than being in an academic situation where every day you have people with you. And I think being in private practice for me would be very lonely because it would just be me and a nurse and my patients.
Yeah.
But then you get the chance to be with all these stimulating people. And I just think it's a different lifestyle.
And I think urologists are less prone to pursue the business side of medicine.
I do too.
You know, for years, I gave the only business-related talk, which was contract negotiation for physicians at the AUA.
Yeah.
I did that for a dozen, you know, almost 10 years. But now we have business and leadership. We do have some developmental ways for urologists to assume and learn business skills.
I think also now, you know, with the larger groups, they hire people.
Yeah.
They don't have to do it. I mean, when you get a group of 40 urologists, you're going to have a professional running that group.
Although there are still urologists that are drawn to that side of...
Right. But see, if I would think of that, if a urologist is drawn to that side, he should have gone to business school.
You're right.
And not, I mean, because you're no longer practicing medicine.
You're doing both.
Yeah.
You're doing both. But I enjoyed all aspects of that. I was also VP of the hospital.
Yeah.
So as my wife said to me, how did this not sound like 2 full-time jobs?
Right.
Which...
And now you're still involved because now you're going to be president.
Yes.
Was it like as a little kid, were you the person that was like, I'm going to be the president one day? And maybe not necessarily of the United States, but did you always have that vision of having such an impactful leadership role?
Well, I always had the vision. I was drawn to service, you know, service back to my profession. So in my model for that was our division chief during residency training. He did a lot of service back to the profession. So I was always drawn to that. As far as political, I was president of my grade school.
that should have shown you were destined to greatness.
I know.
What were the problems that you said that you were going to solve?
Recess.
Safety patrol stuff, you know, crossing the street, you know, lots of stuff.
And that's a perfect segue to president of the AUA.
Exactly. And then I was president of the Greater Lansing Student Council for all the grade schools.
It kept growing.
At age, whatever, 6th grade.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But that so is a kind of like, yeah, you were destined.
A little bit.
Destined to greatness. Really?
To serve as political sort of emphasis. Yeah.
So what does
Well, you're in the right city, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean to you that your peers elected you as the AUA president?
Oh, it's very, very moving. You know, we had our alumni gathering last night, and the residents, my ex-residents, former residents, are so proud of this. And so I went out with half a dozen of them afterwards, and they said, of all the people here, you're with us.
So nice, right?
Yeah.
To be able to still maintain that relationship.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we for sure fostered it. My front door was always open. So, yeah.
So what are some of the things that we can hold you to during your presidency?
Yeah, what are you promising?
What am I promising? Well, you know, Eugene Rhee is talking about restoring joy to work. And I think there'll be a
work-life balance.
Work-life balance. My son is in environmental. His work is sustainability, and I think we're going to pay a little attention to that too, because we have an impact on world health through sustainability and etc. I think we'll work on that
because the AUA, you know, it's a global organization. It's not just you, United States.
So Eugene, at one of the panels during the SMSNA discussion, was talking about this Office of Men's Health that we're trying to get through, right? And so I guess my question is, like, we can tell all the men in the world, go see a doctor, right? There was a gentleman we interviewed earlier today that was saying, dudes to doctors, you know? But practically, why do you think so many young men or men in general are not going to the doctors? And so here's my concern, right? Is like, we encourage all these guys to go to the doctors, and let's say they do it. Let's say they even listen to what we're asking them to do. There are not enough urologists that are going to be able to take care of all of these guys.
We're not telling them to go to urologists. We're telling them, the young guys, go see your doctor.
Right.
Not necessarily a urologist.
Okay. Right. Yeah. And men are much less proactive about their health than women. And it's often a female counterpart that is helping, you know, guide their significant others.
We often quote 85% of healthcare decisions are made by women.
Yeah, for their entire family unit.
Yeah. And of course, young men have less of a need for a urologist.
Right.
But as their health life evolves, then more and more it.
Well, there is a movement now to recommend that guys get their testosterone checked when they're young, so they know what their baseline is, so that later in life, when they go to the urologist complaining of hypogonadal symptoms, they know that they have a metric of maybe 400, 500, whatever, that they're maybe not achieving later in life, so that everybody's unique to themselves.
I'll tell you, here's my concern, right? And we see this in like the menopause movement, is now that so many women are educated on menopause, which is amazing, right? There aren't enough healthcare providers that have also educated themselves. And what I find to be a problem in men's health is, what specialty or what medical student or, you know, medical school has any mandatory training in the health of men? There is not a single specialist. Urologists are the only specialists that have any training in men's health. So you might say, well, we're not telling people to necessarily come see a urologist. We're telling them to go see their primary care. But what primary care doctors have expertise in men's health? So here's my push to you as the incoming president-elect. Is how can we reach out to primary care doctors and these and advanced practice providers in other fields to educate them how to answer the everyday questions of the everyday man?
Yeah, absolutely. And we had, so I was executive director for the Florida Prostate Cancer Advisory Council, so one of three cancer-related advisory councils for the state of Florida. And our issues were mostly, again, focus for prostate cancer, but in that education process, it wasn't just patients, it was physicians treating. How do you best evaluate and screen for prostate cancer risk? And a lot of that education is physicians.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, we've had reasons not to screen. One of the Ramon Gutierrez lecture today was on the value or yesterday on the value of screening and really the social economic impact of screening. Are we making a difference? But if we're going to do it, we got to do it correctly to identify risk factors. And one of that means teaching people to properly utilize PSA, but properly examine the prostate, which has kind of fallen off the radar.
Do we do that anymore?
Well, there are people that make a case not to do that.
They do. Yeah, I know.
I think
telemedicine is also going to become an important way to reach young men. They're so focused on their computers, you know, and, you know, I think there should be a more of a movement amongst urology to go to the patient through telemedicine.
Meet people where they are, where it's convenient. Yeah. Not expect them to take that's off not an entire half day of work.
Facilitate prostate exams.
No, it's not. But these guys are young.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right, exactly.
Awesome. Tom, it is always so good to see you. Cannot wait to have you on the hot seat as president.
Okay.
You
know, I'm anxious too.
It's an honor to have known the pre-president.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't forget the little guy.
I will not.